Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
The storytelling that speaks to me is storytelling for change and storytelling to inspire people. And you can create movements, you can inspire and create that change if you can touch people's hearts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Measuring Success Right. My name is Spencer McWilliams, and today my guest here is a good friend, Andrea Cabrera. Andrea, thank you so much for coming here today.
No, well, thank you. When you texted me, I was like, of course I want to come and talk to you guys. This has been awesome. I'm excited.
Andrea and I go way back, and I'm so excited to have her here because not only has she been a part of MSR before, if you go back to many episodes ago, you'll find that she has also been a host for us. She's also just one of the most incredible people I've ever met with how much she has done here at BYU and what she is going to do. So we're so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, it's weird being on the other side of the microphone now.
Right?
Like, oh my gosh. They wanted me to come and talk to people. I'll do it. Sure thing. It'll be great. I'm excited.
So, Andrea, just first things first, I saw that you went skydiving this past week,
right? That's right.
Just tell us a little bit about that, because skydiving is something that you don't do on a regular day.
Right.
I think it'd be great for us to hear your experience with that.
Totally. Well, I mean, first of all, whoa is what I'm gonna say. It was a thrill. It's something that you know, a friend of mine inspired my bucket book. It's not a bucket list, it's a bucket book. I got that idea from a really close friend a few years ago because there's just so many things that I want to do in my life that it turned into a book, and I number them. I bought a book and I number them and then write a description every time I do that. And that was one of the things on my bucket book. And so to finally be able to see that I did it, you know, it was just such a thrill. And also because since I just graduated at the end of June, it was a really awesome opportunity to just kind of be like, yeah, like starting this adult, like new stage in life. I'll tell you, I didn't feel the drop sensation that I thought I was going to feel this drop sensation.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. Like when you're on a roller coaster and you're going really fast, you're going to go down real fast. But the fact that the airplane's already moving really fast, your body's already going so fast that the change in speed when you start free falling isn't that big. It feels like a leaf blower is blowing in your face the entire time. Your cheeks flap. I got some really funny pictures because obviously I bought pictures and a video because you kind of have to.
You have to
document the experience. And I have some really funny pictures of my cheeks just flapped backwards and like my face is all over the place. It was really funny, but it was, oh gosh, it is an experience of a lifetime. I think if I do it again, I have to go tropical next time, maybe Hawaii.
A different landscape underneath.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow, that is, well, thank you for sharing that. I can't even imagine. I am one that is afraid of heights. And I know there are many other people that are also afraid of heights. But to hear about your experience makes me feel like I'm living vicariously through you.
There you go.
And that might be good enough for me.
There you go.
Okay, Andrea, for those that don't know who you are, we would love to hear just a little bit about yourself. So if you don't mind, tell us about you.
Sure thing. A lot of people at BYU now know me by Latino Oprah Winfrey. So if you've heard of Latino Oprah Winfrey, that's me.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk more about that.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And I mean, okay, here's the thing. My Latinidad goes back to Mexico. So I'm originally from Mexico. Lived there for about 6 years, and my family moved to the U.S., so that's how I know English really well. When people find out I'm from Mexico, they're like, oh my gosh, your English is so good. Yeah. And I always just say, well, I basically grew up in the United States too. And came here. My dad had his accounting firm in Mexico, but he wanted to pursue an education, learn English. He had his bachelor's from Mexico, but he wanted to do more education.
And he learned, we were here in the U.S. for a while so he could learn English. Moved to Germany for a few months. Wow. That's where he did his master's. He did his master's in business administration, okay. MBA. Then moved back to the United States, and now he has his real estate business. He's like an entrepreneur. He loves the business side of things. And so that's kind of how my story went. Mexico, U.S., Germany for a few months, and then came back to the U.S. So I've mainly been here now in the U.S. And in the U.S., we've only ever lived in Utah. But, you know, it's grown on me. When people ask where's home, I have to say now that it really is Utah.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be. And I've gotten into a lot of outdoorsy things. So it's the perfect place to be outdoors.
It really is.
It really is.
So have you been back to Mexico? Have you visited, I'm assuming, like your family back in Mexico?
Actually, my family is the one that will usually come and visit. So my grandma's visiting right now.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and so she's been having a blast just being here with my family. I haven't been back to Mexico in a little while, but hopefully soon.
Add it to your bucket book.
Oh, exactly, right. Add it to the bucket book. And yeah, no, it's been really fun though to live with this, grow up with these two cultures, like dual cultures, you know. And at times, I'll admit, it was like an identity crisis. Like, am I more Latina? Am I more American? But I have to admit, you know, part of that journey of self-discovery happened because of BYU. And I learned those things about me here at the university. So I have so much to give back to the university, honestly.
I know. And since you just graduated, I bet like reflecting on that and kind of like ties in with who you are now and who you're like wanting to become as you're here.
100%.
Okay.
Totally.
So you just graduated. Do you want us to tell us about what you majored in, your journey towards that major?
Yeah. Well, when I was in high school, I had no idea. See, some people come to college and they know exactly what they want to do.
They are a special breed.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Or at least some people say they do, but then they end up changing anyway. But see, I just didn't even know. And I started off majoring, or at least wanting to major in business, because my dad studied business. And he was like, well, you can study business for now. Declare your major as that. You know that whatever you learn in business, the world is business, right? It's not going to be like you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
And then if you end up wanting to change, you can change your major. So I started off as a business major, but it really was so hard trying to figure it out. Because, I mean, the fact that I'm the oldest out of the kids in my family, I have four younger siblings. Mm-hmm. The youngest one is 10 right now. And so oh my gosh, like just trying to pave the way in a different country with a different culture, you know, growing up and trying to apply for college, like my parents, I always felt like, yeah, my parents are my heroes. Like they always know how to help me. But you get to a point where you grow up a little more and you realize, well, your parents aren't perfect and they don't know everything.
Yeah.
So it came to a point where like they were crazy supportive, but I had to figure things out on my own. And I think what really set the grounds running for me for my major was taking the sociology 323, it's sociology of race and ethnicity in America. And it was, oh my goodness, it really just paved the way, because at that point it was my sophomore year at BYU and I didn't really understand that identity of Latino American, which is what I learned in the sociology class. And through Dr. Rue, shout out to Dr. Rue, he's amazing, and he's super popular on Twitter, and his Instagram is always fire if you're into like social causes. He's amazing. Anyways, I really realized, you know what? There's a place for me. I'm like a bridge to two cultures. I bridge Latinos and Americans, and I understand both cultures, and I can talk to both people, so I can bridge that gap. And because of that, I started looking into communications.
Yeah.
My mom always, for a long time, was like, I don't know if business is for you, you know? But I was like, what can I do for the communications? I was like, I don't know what I can do with that. But like one thing led to the next, and it really, and I did some internships on campus that just paved the way for that. I did like this internship through the Ballard Center, is another great resource on campus, with Ashoka and TEDx was my internship. It was really neat getting to do some storytelling there.
Oh,
and it led me to journalism, which is just like storytelling, right? And my business classes that I had taken just transferred to a business minor. So it all worked out.
It did. You still got the business in there.
Exactly.
Okay, so to you, after being, you know, a journalism major now, what makes a good story, or what makes good storytelling?
It depends what the purpose of the storytelling is. I think there's different types of storytelling for different purposes. The storytelling that speaks to me is storytelling for change and storytelling to inspire people. And you can create movements. You can inspire and create that change if you can touch people's hearts. And doing that through, I'm going back to our English classes here, doing that through like ethos and credentials and, you know, the whole thing you learn in English class where you have to, you know, provide good information, credible information, make yourself credible, but also the heartstrings, right? And like if you can provide the proper information and also include those touching stories of maybe bringing that information to life and seeing how this information is affecting people, then that's what really works together, knits everything together to make a good story. So that could encompass so many different things, but for me, I'm all about those stories that touch the heart with credible information to cause social changes.
What kind of experiences have you had where you were able to do that kind of storytelling? Like, is there any specific story that you covered or any internship that like really kind of solidified like, yes, like this is what I want to do?
Totally. Well, one of the most neat experiences I've had as an undergrad that I had during my time at BYU really was having the opportunity to work for the multicultural office. And in the multicultural office, I got to be a project manager that I ideated. You know, my boss came to me and was like, help us share our office story better. And he just gave me the full freedom to kind of take the reins and just create what I wanted. And so I ended up creating this project called MSS Story Narrative, where we shared our office story. And it's a continuing project, but I interviewed all of our the office advisors, and they were telling us, you know, their background with their culture and how they found themselves and everything. You can go and find these stories if you're interested on the MSS Instagram page. I believe it's just MSSBYU, and there should be about 9 videos there. They're just so touching because you have these advisors. I got to hear all their stories, and it inspires change. And especially at BYU with, I love how the university's been taking a stance and trying to help create a more unified and inclusive environment for people of color, for BIPOC people, and for, you know, minorities. And so this was just a perfect project to work on because the office just has experienced so much positivity from these videos. And it's part of that heartfelt with credible information storytelling where it's causing changes.
And that kind of stuff really does work and can become so effective towards people that are watching it or reading it. I remember when I came to BYU, I didn't even know that there was like a multicultural student services center, which
some
is crazy.
People don't. Yeah.
Because I, as someone who is Samoan, Pacific Islander, I was like, oh, like I didn't think there would be like a whole services center catered towards, you know, those that are of different cultures. So I think if I were to have come upon like those kind of storytelling things, I would have been able to have been more knowledgeable.
Inspired even, right?
Yeah, inspired to embrace my culture as well.
Totally.
Because I feel like I have dealt the kind of like the same thing with you as like, am I Samoan or am I American or more of either?
Okay. Totally.
Going into that kind of like dual identity crisis of being Hispanic or, you know, American, what kind of experiences did you have at BYU that kind of created that for you, that made you embrace like your culture more?
I think it came down to, obviously, the multicultural office is really what helped me out a lot. I didn't know about the multicultural office until I was a student here as well. And I think it was actually like following that little intuition I had in me to be like, oh my gosh, like trying to understand my Latinidad better, which meant associating more with like cultural individuals, cultural students around campus, and being involved in events like Fiesta, also an event that the multicultural office puts on every year, or you know, visiting the Spanish speaking wards for a little bit, you know. And it was just really like
embracing that Latinidad, like exposing myself more to it. Like I started picking up Latin dancing and I even got Zumba certified. And it was, you've been to some of my classes.
Take her class.
They're amazing. They're so fun.
It really is a lot of fun.
So fun. And I think it's just that side of me that I didn't understand as much, or I was almost like afraid of because I didn't understand it. But it was actually embracing it, facing it, and like learning more about it. It helped me step into that identity. And BYU provided so many opportunities for it.
For maybe students who might be dealing with the same thing as you, what kind of advice would you give them to step into it? Because I know sometimes it might be a little bit daunting or, I don't know, they maybe don't know where to even start. I mean, the MSS is a great resource for that. But what would be some good advice for students to maybe feel more comfortable in trying to figure that out for themselves?
The thing that helped me out so much was talking about it with people. It was so therapeutic. And it doesn't even have to be people of your same culture. It can be people with like other cultures as well. But just understanding that I wasn't alone. And that's the thing. So many times, so many people think they're walking alone, think that they're experiencing it alone, that they're the only one out there feeling the way they're feeling. And you're not. There's so many other people out there. And if you can just create those connections and embrace and have those crucial conversations, oh my gosh, it's so therapeutic. It's so therapeutic. It helps you. And I also feel like as you speak those thoughts and feelings out loud with people that will understand, it's a healing process.
Yeah.
It heals you as well, because there was, to some small degree, maybe even trauma of experiences that I had in high school, people that were racist or even here, or me just so many things like confusing in my head. And as I talked about it with people, I got to learn of ways that they were embracing it, ways that they were being true to that identity, ways that they were stepping into themselves and who they were, and ways that they were celebrating their culture, because it's also beautiful. That's one thing I'll want to make sure that you listener understand, if you're experiencing similar things, that it is beautiful that you have more than one culture. And to just know that the fact that you have that second culture is going to carry across in so many different ways throughout your life and will help you create more meaningful connections with so many people, because it's happened to me so much.
I love that so much. Okay, let's talk about Latina Oprah Winfrey.
Yes,
where
my
did
favorite.
This come from? What inspired you for this? Just tell me everything about it.
Right.
Because I remember seeing an Instagram post and you used the hashtag.
Yes.
And I remember seeing it and being like, yes, like that is her. Like,
yes,
I can see that. So please tell us.
I love that. Well, I guess this little idea, I guess some people call it craziness, but you know, some people's craziness are some people's dreams, and I want to make this dream a reality. So I'll just throw that out there. So whatever you want to call it, my dream of this Latina Oprah Winfrey, it came to me about 3 years, let's see, that was like 2017, 2018. Like 2017, like fall of 2017. I remember at that point I was still a business major.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember I was scrolling through Facebook, and you know how you all of a sudden can get caught, how I think TikTok and Facebook and the Reels now do this too, where you play a video and as soon as it ends, it plays the next one. You don't even get to choose anymore. It just automatically plays
for you. You can't stop.
You can't stop. So it's an endless black hole sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So there I was in the morning. I think I had saved a link to this like inspirational video that I had found on Facebook. I don't even remember. I was getting ready in the morning, and then all of a sudden it starts playing the next video, this Oprah Winfrey like inspirational speech thing that I somehow ended up on Facebook. And I was like, oh, Oprah Winfrey. The only real association I'd had with Oprah Winfrey prior to this was Drake and Josh.
I was literally going to say,
Drake and Josh.
If you don't say Drake and Josh, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Right. It was like, dude, Josh was like in love with Oprah. That's like what I remember from that episode. And it was like the best thing ever. And so that's the only real association I had with Oprah before that. And I was like, actually, this lady's really interesting. I see why Josh fell in love with her. And then I was like, well, I want to learn more about her life. And as I started looking up and learning more about her, I was like, oh my goodness, this lady has done so much, especially as a minority. And the intersectionality of being a female and also being African American. And I was like, she is so inspirational. Oh my gosh. And I had heard this really interesting thought of embracing yourself, embracing and looking, the way you can be successful in life is to look for mentors. looking for mentors, even if it's not people you know personally, you know, for images of like how you would like to be. And so back then in 2017, 2018, it was around that time, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to choose her as a quote unquote mentor. I feel inspired when I read things about her. And then all of a sudden, I transitioned into communications, into journalism. And then I made the connection that she was also a journalist at 19. She was one of the youngest reporters of her time. And that's how she made her way. She went from reporting into, they took her, the producers for the show and everything just saw that she felt things so emotionally and that she was really good at talking with people. They eventually put her on a show. And she slowly started making it up until she had her own show. And then she started, you know, from there she blew up. She's amazing. The people love her. And so then after that, I was like, oh my gosh. Well, you know what we need? She's done so many amazing things for African-American people and especially as a woman. And I said, you know what? I think there's a perfect niche for a Latina Oprah. And I don't exactly know what that would look like. Some people always, when I come up with this Latina Oprah Winfrey idea, people always ask me, do you want your own reality TV show? Do you want your own media network? And I don't know if that's exactly how I'll do it. I'm not so sure. There's so many things that are happening now with, for example, podcasting or, for example, things on social media now. Like, I don't even know exactly what this picture will look like. I don't know if it'll be a show, but I want to do is use that Latino identity and that my minority as a woman to inspire other people. That's what she does. She does that touching storytelling. She knows how to do that so perfectly, and she inspires change through that storytelling, and she does it in meaningful ways. And she always says the way you can be successful is by embracing who you are and have what you do in life be a self-expression of your identity, of who you are as a person. If you use those skills that you've been given, the things you enjoy doing, to influence and help the lives of others, that's where you find real success. And so this whole Latina Oprah Winfrey really comes as an inspiration to say that that's what I want to do with my life. And I want to use that Latinidad and that identity, step into it and help other people through that powerful storytelling.
I love that idea of having like a mentor, but it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that you like know. Like, for instance, like yours is Oprah Winfrey.
Right.
We don't know Oprah, but you've just
she
been
will
so,
know me someday.
I know, like, you know, keep this episode in the past so you can show.
Oh, yeah.
But she inspired you so much to the point where it's making you want to also make those kind of changes through
ripples.
Storytelling.
Exactly.
Which, Oprah really does do a really good job. I've watched a lot of clips of her show on YouTube, and it's it can really make you tear up.
Oh, I know. That woman has like a superpower. Oh. I swear.
There's a funny interview of Oprah interviewing. I think she was on James Corden's show.
I think I might have watched this video too.
And like,
She's almost making him cry, right?
Yeah, like she's just trying because James Corden just is very emotional, which is great. Love when people can just show their emotions.
Totally.
And I think in just like a sentence about his family or his children, he just automatically started tearing up. And, you know, it's not only just the way that she – well, it's not only the stories that she tells, but the way that she tells them. The way that she connects with the people that she interviews is just...
Definitely.
Now we're just talking about Oprah.
So. Oh, and I could keep talking about her all day.
No, but I love how you took that inspiration and now you're wanting to make it, like, using your culture.
Yes.
And create it for your own.
Definitely.
So that's really amazing.
I'll leave this Oprah thought with one thing. My mom, a few years ago, when I told her about this Latina Oprah Winfrey, she said... Oh, I guess two last quick little things with that. But one thing that my mom told me I remember was that I said, Mom, I'm going to meet Oprah someday. And then she was like, honey, now Oprah's going to want to meet you someday. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes, Mom.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Yes, Mom.
Let's go.
I love that she said that.
She's so supportive, really. My family really is. And so anyways, and the name's traveling around really because I had the other quick thing I wanted to mention was she's now my friend, but I was in the library a few months ago, and this was still during COVID mask era.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how you can recognize people sometimes if they're wearing a mask, but sometimes you can't because you can't see their full face.
Yes.
So I was sitting in the library just here, and this girl comes and taps my shoulder, and I look at her, and I was like, shoot, she totally knows who I am, but I don't know who she is. And I was like, oh, hi. And she's like, oh my gosh, "Are you Latina Oprah Winfrey?"
Stop
I died,
it.
Spencer. I died.
I would have started crying.
It made my
right
day.
There.
It made my life. That's the first time anybody's ever called me
oh
by Latina
gosh.
Oprah Winfrey, and I don't know them. We're friends now, and we've like hung out, and we went Latin dancing the other day together.
Oh,
she's amazing,
so
Elise.
Fun.
She's awesome. Okay. Anyway, so shout out to her too.
Yes, I bet that you own that hashtag.
Oh,
I
yeah.
can't imagine anyone else who is using
totally.
That hashtag. And
I
if they are, sorry, but it's you.
I claimed it.
You claimed it. Okay, Andrea, with all that you have just been involved with here at BYU and like your own like personal like self-discovery of like your identity and your culture, how have you been able to balance those things in your life? How are you able to just create balance for that?
Balance is such a funny word because I don't think there's ever really, we always think that there should be like a percentage of balance, right?
Yeah.
Like if I have, I don't know, 20 or 5 things going on and I have the 100%, then I go 20, 20, 20, 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
But did I, 20, 20, 20, 20, I missed 120. 5 20s for the 100%.
That's
you
okay.
got me, you got me.
You, I got you.
But the thing is, balance is such a funny word because there's, I don't really think that balance is, I don't even know. I should have thought about this before. What better word to describe it than balance? But the thing is, the best way I've ever heard it described, and it was actually at a conference here at BYU. I don't recall exactly what it was. I think it might have been the Summit
mm-hmm.
conference. And it was a time where the one of the, what was his name? Bednar, there we go. His son came. He was like a SHRM, like HR professional. He came and spoke to the university and some of the students that were there during that conference. And he said, one thing that really stood out to me from that my dad has mentioned several times is like that whole idea of balance. What it really looks like is juggling, like plate spinning all the things you have. And like, as soon as you notice that one of the plates is starting to get a little low, you have to say, okay, now it's time to start spinning this plate. But by the time you're doing that, some other plates are going to start wobbling as well. So you have to go and start spinning those. So there's never an exact a moment where there will be an exact balance. It's really just about having, being smart enough and taking the time to have that moment to self-reflect and think, okay, how do I feel mentally? How do I feel physically? How do I feel spiritually? How do I feel emotionally? You know, just these different aspects of your life. And if you feel like something is missing, then taking the time to be willing to take away from some of those other things you're investing in to focus a little more on the plate that needs the spinning. I'm not perfect at it. I don't think anyone really is.
Yeah.
And if you ever think anyone is, I think they're just, you know, faking it really well because it's really one of those fake it till you make it moments sometimes.
It is.
But that's the best way I've learned to think about that way.
I think when you were talking about like people, you know, it's never perfect. And that's so true. I was thinking of just these trends on social media of how like becoming that kind of person,
totally.
That girl, that's what it's called.
Right.
Where, you know, works out every day.
Yeah.
Eats a healthy, balanced meals every, like the whole entire day.
Right.
Gets enough sleep, drinks enough water. It's just, and I think those are great things to aspire to,
right.
but it's never just going to be perfect. And like
never.
You said, it really takes reflection on, you know, those four elements of emotional, mental, physical, spiritual stuff. And realizing that, you know, if you don't have a perfect day, that's okay.
Exactly.
You have tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. You have tomorrow. We always have tomorrow, right?
And so very true. All right. So to wrap up, Andrea, I think you already know what kind of question we ask at the end of our show.
Right.
And you've kind of touched on a lot of points of success
mm-hmm.
throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
But in your own words and I guess in your own personal measurement, how do you measure success?
This is, I love this question, and it really, that's why I've loved having the opportunity to work with MSR, because it, interviewing all the people that I did during my time gave me a really interesting perspective on what success means for me. And there's different ways that I could explain what it means for me, but in a very logical, formulative way of explaining it, I always go back to Mike Hawkins, one of my very first interviews with MSR. He was, I think, my second interview that I ever did. I was scared out of my mind.
Wow.
But he said I did great, and oh my gosh, whew, it was quite the interview. He's an economist that he did study at BYU, but then he got his master's at Pepperdine University. And when he came, he said, I have a formula of success. And he says that formula is S equals plus W plus O. S is success. S, success, equals P, preparation, W, work. And he specifically said really hard work plus opportunity, O. If you're prepared and you work your booty off, you work hard, when the opportunity comes, you take it. And oftentimes the reason why, the whole idea where people say, life isn't giving me a chance, or I haven't had the opportunity, I honestly don't believe in that. I just think people are either not prepared enough or they're not working hard enough. The reason being, there are so many opportunities out there, but if you have taken the time to prepare, then you'll have the skills when it comes, right? And if you've taken the time to be working really hard, it makes sense. Your mind is tuned to look for those opportunities, to embrace them, to jump on it as soon as you see it. So that's my logical, formulative way of saying what success means, right? If I want, I'm going to give you more of a definition of success that I've recently heard that I'm embracing in my life right now, considering all the changes that are happening in my life with being graduated and trying to step into this adult role now.
Yes.
And finding my job and everything. I was recently eating lunch at Capitol Hill in Salt Lake. A friend of mine, she's wonderful. She's doing an internship with in Senator Romney's office. And so she's has a lot of amazing contacts. And she said, Andrea, how you doing? Hey, I'm helping plan a empowering women's lunch with some amazing women that I've met with my internship group. And we want to have you be one of our guests to come and be mentored and get to hear from these wonderful women. And they were amazing, all the women that were there. One of them is like working with the state budget. Another one works with like writing bills. Like all these women are incredible. And I was sitting in that Capitol Hill little dining room. It was in the visitor's office. Mm-hmm. So like literally the window faces Capitol and I could just see it right out the window to my left. It was incredible. The sandwich was pretty good too.
Oh, that's
good to know. I mean, the women is what we're here for, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one of the things that, because I asked that question, I said, I mean, success is an ongoing pursuit and that success will look differently throughout different stages of your life. And one of the women's, she said, success as a woman means having the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Whether that's being a working mom, whether that's staying at home with your kids. And a thought that I want to leave you with that I think was very empowering for me is, she said, it also means having the freedom to leave your job if you would want to leave it. Because they talked about this idea of how a lot of women get stuck in a job because they feel like they're responsible. They feel like they have this responsibility to fulfill, or they're not brave enough to embrace the unknown for a few months to find a new job. It's the uncertainty, right? And that's one thing that these women kept saying over and over, having the freedom to choose. Don't fall slave to a specific work or a specific mundane routine of life because you feel like you can't get out. Like, be brave enough to embrace that unknown to pursue what you want to do. That's success as a woman. And I just sat there in that chair, Spencer. I see your eyes too. You're sitting there. Yeah. You're taking this in too.
I feel like I'm at the
Capitol, right now.
Oh my goodness.
And I loved that so much because right now is a moment for a lot of people, right? But right now, especially for me, is a moment of opportunity. It's a moment of change. And it's a moment of choosing what I want to do. And knowing that as a woman, if I'm brave enough, I can choose what I want to do. That's success in my life.
We love that freedom.
We love that freedom.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Oh. Andrea, thank you so much for coming to the show today, and we wish you the best of luck with postgraduate life because it's not easy, but it looks like you're taking life,
you're
enjoying yourself before you step into that world. So thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, Spencer. It's been great.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you have a wonderful week. Bye.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.